Dear friends, please turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. And reading verse 13. Matthew 2, verse 13. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And our subject this morning is the wickedness of Herod. The wickedness of Herod. Well, we come this morning, our last Lord's Day morning service before Christmas 2021. And how fast this year has gone, how fast it has disappeared. But we rejoice that we have an opportunity at this time of the year to remember the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the incarnation, God made manifest in the flesh. The second person of the Trinity, he who is equal with the Father, conceived of the Holy Spirit in the womb of Mary and born in Bethlehem of Judea, the Middle East, as we would now call it, just over 2,000 years ago. And I remind you that this is a real and a true historical event. Indeed, the world would never be the same again after this event. This was the great turning point in human history, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And many of you will be very familiar with the account, no doubt, of the birth of the Lord Jesus. And there are so many aspects to this account. I'll be speaking later on to the Bible class about the wise men, and so many other aspects are often mentioned at this time of year. Mary is often spoken of, the angel Gabriel, and so on. But this morning we're going to focus on, if I can put it this way, he is the villain of the piece, the one who is opposed, vehemently opposed to the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that person is, of course, King Herod. Now, there are a number of Herods in the New Testament, and we hear of them in the Gospel accounts and elsewhere. For example, we have later on Herod Antipas, who beheaded John the Baptist. Do you remember him, Herod Antipas? Because John the Baptist condemned Herod Antipas because he had married someone he ought not to have married, Herodias, and so he had him beheaded. And he even met with the Lord Jesus Christ in his adult ministry. Pilate sent the Lord Jesus to Herod Antipas, and they met there. But then there is another Herod, Herod Agrippa, that we read of in the book of Acts, and he sought to murder the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, he did actually succeed in putting to death James, the son of Zebedee, and he wanted to put to death the Apostle Peter, but an angel of the Lord smote him with a great disease in his bowels, and so that was the end of Herod Agrippa. So this Herod is not the only Herod in the New Testament, but we're going to focus this morning on him. And this Herod, well, he is known as Herod the Great. Herod the Great. Now, Herod the Great was not a Jew. He was an Edomite, also called an Idumean in the scriptural accounts in the Gospels, but he was not a Jew. He was an Edomite, and in fact, the Edomites actually had a history of animosity and hostility toward the Israelites, toward the Jews, and yet now an Edomite was ruling over the Jewish people. So how has this happened? Well, Herod was only king because the Romans had established him. as the king. Really, it was the Romans, the Roman Empire, you know very well. I won't go into all of the history, but the Roman Empire had all the authority and they had established him as the king of Judea. And by the time that the Lord Jesus Christ was born, King Herod had been reigning for almost 40 years, and he had done some good things, or some notable things. The most notable thing, and some of you will know this, is that he rebuilt the temple in Jerusalem, and well, that was a magnificent sight. Some say it was greater than the original temple of Solomon, Herod's temple. It was truly awesome. And there was a period of relative stability and prosperity for the Jews under his reign. But because Herod was only established by the Roman Empire, because he didn't really have a true claim to the throne, he was always very insecure. He was always very fearful that somebody would take the throne from him. Very paranoid. He knew he wasn't the rightful king. He was only there because the Romans had put him there. And so throughout his whole life as king, he would respond ruthlessly to anyone who threatened to take away his status. And again, I won't go through all the history of Herod, but we know that he murdered so many people. He murdered friends, he murdered family members, he even murdered his wife in order to protect himself as king, to protect his status. And so, well, it's no surprise that when the wise men come to Bethlehem asking, "Where is the king of the Jews?" that Herod gets very troubled. He gets very alarmed. The king of the Jews that the wise men were asking about, verse 2, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." These are wise men, and I'll be speaking to the Bible class about them a bit later. These wise men, they had come to seek the Lord Jesus Christ. He who was the long-awaited king of the Jews, the long-awaited Messiah of the Jewish people, the long-awaited Savior. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, he was the rightful king. He was the one who had been prophesied over many years, centuries, in the Old Testament. He was the one, unlike Herod. Herod had no rightful claim. But the Lord Jesus Christ, well, he was anointed of God. That's what the name Christ means, anointed of God. He has a rightful place, a rightful claim to the throne, not just of the Jews, but he has a rightful claim to the throne of each and every one of us, to rule over us. And so this is the king that the wise men came to seek. They had seen his star in the east, and they are come to worship him. And so Herod, when Herod the king, verse 3, had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. He was scared. He thinks he's going to lose his throne. And so he must do something about this. He must respond ruthlessly. And well, my first point of application this morning is, well, is there anybody here who is like Herod? Who is like Herod? I'm going to give you a number of applications this morning to examine ourselves, particularly those, especially those who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you like Herod? Do you have the same attitude? You don't want Christ to be king over you. You want to be the king over your own life. So many people who are like that in this day and age, they say to themselves, "I don't want to do what God wants me to do. I want to go my own way. I want to do what I want to do. I want to make my own decisions. I want to make my own plans. Don't tell me that God has a plan for me. Don't tell me that God wants to lead me and guide me all my life through. I don't want him to make all the decisions. I want to be the king over my life. I want to make all the decisions. I want to fulfill my dreams. I want to fulfill all my ambitions. I'm going to be king, not the Lord Jesus Christ. Is there anybody here has that same attitude? I have my plans for my life and nobody is going to disturb them. Not the Lord Jesus Christ, not anybody. That's the same attitude that Herod had. He is the king. He wants to remain the king. He's not going to let this king of the Jews, the Lord Jesus Christ, so many people like that. They make their own decisions. They live according to their own will, not the will of God, according to their own will. And another thing that people do, because they're the king over their own lives, well, they make up their own rules and their own standards. They ignore God's rules, God's standards, the Ten Commandments. I'm not going to live my life according to the Ten Commandments. I'm not going to put God before all things. I'm not going to make sure I don't lie and I don't covet. Oh no, I'm going to make up my own morality. And it's not according to the word of God. Anything goes in my life, and we see it in society. Society has made up its own morality, its own rules. We have decided what is right and what is wrong because we have put ourselves at the throne. We are the kings. We decide what is right, what is wrong, not God, not God's word, not the Lord Jesus Christ, the Ten Commandments, the holiness of God. We're not going to pay any attention to that. We are the ones who rule. Well, is there anybody like that here? Anybody who has that attitude, I am the one who rules over my own life. Well, dear friends, that's very sad. Let me explain to you something. Well, I've already explained it about King Herod. Do you know that you don't have a rightful claim over your life? You are not the rightful king over your life. Do you realize that? God is the rightful king over your life. Christ is the rightful king. He's the only one who has a claim to your life. You don't. Because Christ, well, he is God. He's your creator. He is the reason you are here. He is the reason why you live and breathe and have your being. The reason why you possess all the things that you have, your family, your friends, you owe everything to God. You don't have the rightful claim to your life. It's God who is the true king. Are you going to ignore him like Herod does? Oh, this is the rightful king, but I'm going to do away with him. Is that your attitude? You don't want the Lord to reign over you. You want a usurper. You want yourself to reign over your life. That is so very sad. Perhaps you're more like Herod than you think you are, the villain of the piece. Herod, who is considered to be so wicked. Well, are you like him? You don't want Christ, the rightful king of your life, to rule over you. Well, this is so very sad. But let's continue with this narrative because time is rushing on. Well, so the wise men, they are looking for the king of the Jews. Herod is very troubled. We know that. Then verse 7, Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, he called the wise men privately to see him, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. Well, Herod makes out, he tells the wise men, go and find him, and when you find him, well, come and tell me because I want to go and worship him myself. But he's lying, of course. We know this. He's lying. He doesn't want to go and worship him. He wants to murder him. He wants to do away with him. He's simply pretending that he is a worshiper of Christ. He's pretending that he has the same joy as the wise men. But he doesn't really. This is all a sham, a great lie. And well, you know that there are many people who resemble King Herod in this respect. In this respect, there are those who are out and out atheists, out and out rebels against God, and who will not have God to rule over them. But then there are those who pretend that they are followers of God, who pretend that they worship God. There are many people like this. They say to you that, well, God is their life. God is at the center of their lives. They live for him. But sadly, this is not true. They may well come to church. They may well make up the numbers, but it's all outward. They don't really believe what they hear. They don't believe what the preaching of the Word of God says to them. Sometimes they don't listen. They come and they switch off. They don't want to hear what the Word of God says to them. They're outward. They're nominally religious. They don't put God first. They don't live holy lives. And they don't feel they have to. They're not sincere. They're false worshippers, just as Herod is presenting himself here. He fools the wise men, but he is not sincere. And sadly, well, there are many who fool many people into thinking that they are sincere Christians, but they are not really. Again, am I speaking to anybody here? People who come very regularly, people who are watching online, you say that you are Christian, but you are not. You say that you worship God, but really it's all a cover-up. It's a sham. It's a lie. Dear friends, this is so very tragic. We must examine ourselves to see if we are truly in the faith. Do you know that conversion experience? Are you truly born again? Have you repented of your sins? In order to be born again, I was explaining this to someone not so long ago. In order to be born again, we first have to die to ourselves. Before the new birth, there is a death. Death to the old person that we once were. Death to the old hobbies, the old pastimes, the lusts of the flesh, the things that the world did, that's all gone. And then we are born again. Have you had that? Do you know that true repentance and faith? We have people even in our company this morning who have strong testimonies. They lived many years as nominal Christians, and it was only when they truly repented, they realized, I hadn't been a Christian for so many years, but now I am. Dear friends, we must examine ourselves. Don't be like Herod. Don't be like an insincere worshipper saying, I want to worship God, but really you have no love for him at all. Well, that's our second application. But then we move on to the next part of the narrative. And again, well, you know this very well. The wise men, they go on the way. They see the star. The star brings them to the house where Mary and Joseph and the Lord Jesus Christ are. They worship him. You know about the gifts, the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. But then verse 12, they are warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, and they departed into their own country another way. And Joseph, in verse 13, he is also warned because, as the angel tells him, Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. God knows the true heart of Herod. Herod can fool everybody else, but not God. Herod will not come to worship him. He will seek the young child to destroy him. And so the Lord Jesus is taken into Egypt. But then verse 16, then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, angry, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. And then, well, we have that prophecy in verse 18 from Jeremiah, that great lamentation and weeping and mourning, Rachel, who represents all the mothers of Israel, weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not. Well, what a terrible thing to do. Herod commanding that all the children, those who were 2 years old and under, think of all the children that you know, 2 years old and under, are they not so delightful? That's when they're at their most delightful age, toddlers, 2 years old and under, all slain by Herod. Why? Because he wants to be king. Because of his pride and his sin. What a terrible thing. And he wants to make sure. He doesn't know exactly when the Lord Jesus Christ was born. He knows it's sometime within the past 2 years. So he wants to make completely sure. Let's just kill all the children. All of them who are 2 years old and under. Kill all of them. Because he wants to hold on to his throne. Of course, he doesn't succeed. And well, one application we can make is that even despite all the best laid plans of men, you cannot do away with Christ. So many people down throughout history have done their very best to do away with Christ, do away with the gospel. You have lands and nations even now in the modern world persecuting Christians, trying to eradicate the church. They'll never succeed. That's one application we can make. Christ will always prevail. But what I want to focus on is, well, what a terrible sin. Herod, to murder all the children of Bethlehem, how could anybody do this? But you see, this is what Herod has become. By this time of his life, he has become so hardened. He's in his late 60s at this age. And well, his conscience is so seared that he will do anything to keep hold of his kingdom, even slay innocents, innocent children. And my application is simply this. This is what sin does. I've said it so many times. But the longer you live in your life without God, without Christ, the worse your sin becomes. You will end up doing things that you never thought you would do. Doing things that as a youngster, oh, I'll never do that. I see adults getting drunk and doing this and doing that. I'll never be like that. You'll end up doing that. If you turn away from God and you trust in yourself, if you remain as the king of your life, you'll do things you never thought you would do. You'll say things you never thought you would say. You'll think things that you never thought you would think. Sin gets worse and worse and worse. Are you going to settle for that? Those of you who don't know the Lord, you know, some people, it seems, they're so afraid to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. They're afraid of repentance. They're afraid of faith. That's not the thing that you need to be afraid of. What you need to be afraid of is your life without Christ and the terrible damage that sin will do in your life and the person that you'll become because of sin. That's what you need to be worried about. Dear friends, Herod, well, he committed extreme sin, but you will do things that will be to your great shame and to your eternal shame as well. We read later on in this chapter, as we begin to draw to conclusion, verse 19, we read about Herod's death. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. Herod died. He spent all his strength trying to hold on to his throne as king, but death finally removed him. He couldn't hold on to his throne. Only 40 years, 40 odd years, he was on his throne, and then he went into eternity. And you know, Herod will have to give an account for all of his sins. He will have to give an account before the holy God. of this sin, all the sins in his life. That time when he murdered all those children, he will have to give an account and he will be punished for his sin on that great and coming day of judgment. The Lord has promised that to us. There will be a day of justice. We will all stand before the judgment seat of God. How will it be for you? We know how it will be for Herod. How will it be for you? You know, we are like Herod in this sense. We are all sinners. Every single one of us. That is how we are born. Born rebels against God. But the Lord Jesus Christ was born. Why was he born? Well, to save us from the punishment for our sins. We read it even in this gospel. In chapter 1 and verse 21, you know these words very well. The words of the angel Gabriel to Joseph, and she, Mary, shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Why? For he shall save his people from their sins. This was why Christ came. That's what his name means. He shall save his people from their sins. We are born sinners. We stand to be punished by God at the end of our lives for all our sins. But Christ was born to take the punishment for our sins, for all those who would believe in him. And that's what he did on the cross at Calvary. On the cross, Lord, punish me. Father, punish me instead of those who believe in me. I will suffer and die for them, so that they may be forgiven, so that at the very end of their lives, they can stand before the judgment seat and they will have no fear. They will have no condemnation at all, because I have died for them. I took their condemnation. They are free. They are forgiven. They have everlasting life. Dear friends, does that speak to you? Is that your faith? Don't be like Herod. Herod's case is so sad. And yet, let me just say this one last thing before I close. You know, if Herod had turned to the Lord Jesus Christ, we know that Herod, he wanted to seek the young child to destroy him. But if Herod had actually sought the young child to worship him, and to bring all his sins before him, and to cry out for salvation, you know, Herod would have been saved. Even despite all of his murders, even despite him slaying all the children in Bethlehem, Herod would have been saved. There is no sin too great that the Lord Jesus Christ cannot wash away. His blood is almighty to save. There is nobody too wicked that cannot turn to Christ and be saved. If Herod had turned, he would have been saved. Dear friends, it's the same for you. I don't know your state or condition, but if there is anybody here thinking to themselves, I've done too much, I've sinned greatly, I've done things that I never thought I would do, I've said things that I never thought I would say. It's too much. It's too much sin. It's not. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. He has almighty power to save. His grace can cover all your sin. And he will not cast away anyone who comes to him. If Herod had turned to the Lord, he would have been saved. It's not too late for any one of us. While you have breath left in your body, while you have ears to hear, there is still hope, eternal hope for you in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the good news. This is why we rejoice at the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he has suffered and died for us, and there is forgiveness for all our many sins. Well, may the Lord bless these glorious things to us. Turn to the Lord. May he be the king over your life. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to thee now. Help us, O Lord. Help us to rejoice in Christ, our King, our Saviour. May he reign over us, O Lord. And dear Lord, may we each and every one know his salvation and know the joy of his salvation. He is an almighty Saviour, and he shall in no wise turn away any who turn to him in repentance and faith. Work in us by the power of thy Holy Spirit, we pray, and save this day. We ask it in our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen.